Hello and welcome to Most Clicked, a podcast about digital marketing in HE, FE and beyond. I'm joined by Kyle Campbell, the education marketer, and Matt Lees, who is a co-founder at Smile, which is also where I'm from. This week, we're talking about TikTok, or maybe more like the lack of TikTok. Kyle, would you mind to introduce this week's story?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, that intro suggests we're going to talk about the ban, aren't we? But we're going to talk about usage of TikTok and actually how it's used by students. It's a really interesting piece of research been shared by the Keystone Education Group. It's a huge survey. It's 20,000 UG, PG and PhD students, and it asks them, what do they use social media for? And there's a question in there that says, which social media platform do you use primarily to research study choices? And TikTok is right at the bottom. Now, bear in mind, this is a global survey. So this is data in aggregate. There is some more stuff in the report that breaks it down by region. But you can see here at a global level, TikTok's influence as a platform that has an impact on study choices is remarkably low. And the interesting thing for me here is how Instagram, despite all the hate that it receives for reels, carousels, whatever the latest thing is, it's actually the most universal app. So if you do an international student campaign and you want to reach as many people as possible and you've got limited budget, you're probably looking at using something like Instagram or Facebook rather than focusing on something like YouTube Shorts or TikTok there. Now, it's not to say that students don't use TikTok. They clearly do, but they're not necessarily using it to research, study choices. I think the number one reason people use TikTok, this is in the new consumer report, they use it for mindless entertainment, and secondary it's used for comedy. So obviously university, it doesn't make sense to be on there. I wouldn't recommend not being at this point, but you very much have to create a certain type of content, because that's what students expect to receive when using it.
So you know that question around what do they use TikTok for, do they ask the same question around Instagram?
In terms of the content they consume, I mean,
yeah, as in, you know, if they're on TikTok for what was it, mindless entertainment?
What are they on Instagram for?
What are they on Instagram for?
Good question. I don't specifically know from that report if it touched on that. I think we can see at a glance the type of content that's created for Instagram is very different to TikTok, and if you look at the sort of content that does well on TikTok, it tends to be from regular people who aren't creators, who, you know, who aren't making a business out of this stuff, and they can go viral with something comedic. Whereas Instagram's more favoring that creator lifestyle. They built up audiences over time. It's a bit more traditional in the sort of content that it's surfacing. It's also much more polished, isn't it? Compared to TikTok.
And I mean the gulf in the results in that table that we just saw is huge, isn't it? I was quite surprised by how low the numbers were for TikTok.
Me too.
In comparison.
I don't even know what to believe anymore when it comes to social, because like this report tells us something vastly different to like what I've read over the last 6 months of reporting. Like I've been reading stuff about how TikTok is now what young people use as a search engine. You know, and all these sorts of things, which just seems completely at odds with this report. And like it's remarkable, like you say, Matt, to see the usage so low. But it also seems to me that things must move so fast on social that this report feels like it could even be out of date by the time that this podcast episode gets published. To be honest,
TikTok's naturally a place of trends and movements, isn't it? I mean, the value I find in things like this, I can see a lot of reports, right? And often it's about what youth is doing, i.e., a certain demographic of age. It's less common for me to find something that focuses specifically on students. And I think we need to be careful when we look at trends. We're not just looking at Gen Z, which is valuable in itself, but we're also looking about what actually students are using and why they're using it. It's just two extra qualitative points that suggest or make the report more relevant to what you're doing. So yes, the general Gen Z trends and young people using social media, but I think there's often nuances that come in with different demographics and what someone wants out of the platform at a certain time.
Hmm. Yeah.
Is it a one-off report or is this something done annually? Because I'd be interested to know annually, how those numbers were changing over the years and whether there was a decline in something like Instagram in comparison to TikTok.
Yeah, they do it annually. I'm not too sure what the previous report said, but they tend to release it around every, I think it's every October, they update the update the figures. And it's good to see something at scale, really, because usually when you see these reports come out, you think, oh, right, 67% of young people do this, when actually their sample size is 500.
Yeah.
So actually having like a 20,000 sample size of students is quite valuable. Yeah,
particularly across the globe as well. It's quite impressive to be able to get those numbers.
There's a second chart in there that looks at regions, and essentially in the US and Europe, Facebook and is off. You know, it's not even registering its tiny influence. But in places like South America, really high, and in places like Southeast Asia, Facebook's like, you know, the number one app for teens. So they absolutely love it over there. It's like, you know, it's their TikTok.
Right.
So it depends where you go. So if you think, oh God, I want to be young again and be like using platforms that people are using, yeah, just go to Southeast Asia and use Facebook. You'll fit right in, you know.
So should universities be adjusting their marketing plans depending on the territories they're trying to recruit from then?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, they already do. But I mean, I don't think some teams realize the extent of which certain platforms are favored in certain regions. I mean, usually your media provider will guide you to what activity you're running and all that sort of thing. But, you know, looking at these charts, you just don't realize that TikTok isn't even a thing in certain parts of the world. When in our lens, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because in the UK, I think TikTok, if I remember this correctly, again, the chart might be out of date now, but TikTok is actually more popular than YouTube. Whereas in the States, it's the other way around. So it's little things like this you don't realize because you're in your own lens, in your own bubble.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say about like it doesn't even exist in some places, because I mean the recent news is that there's a more TikTok bans on the way. It's been banned in US government devices now. I think it's UK government devices, and I think maybe even like the BBC have like advised against having it on your device unless you absolutely have to or something like that. So again, that fast pace, and of course there's bans in lots of other territories for things like Twitter and all that sort of stuff. Well, I mean, if Twitter even exists by the time that this podcast episode, it feels like it's on a constant knife edge at the moment.
It's trying to self-destruct, isn't it? Yeah.
I wish it had finished the job.
with TikTok and its bans, I mean, it's not unprecedented that it's been banned. It's been banned in India since, I think it's 2020 or 2021. Everything's gone on as was, and YouTube's taken over as you'd expect, as the alpha. But if you look at, I mean, I think I said in my newsletter this morning, didn't I? I mean, I'd be quite sad if it went, because it actually adds something quite valuable to the social media ecosystem, in that anyone can kind of go viral on it, and you just don't get that from Instagram or YouTube. You have to build these really, you have to build audiences over a long period of time. But with TikTok, you can go from having zero to a million people following you or engaging with you or watching your content within minutes if you get it right. So I think we still need that. I don't know if it needs to be TikTok, but it would put us back a few years if we lost that.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any one takeaway, really. The thing that actually really stands out for me, though, is that angle on internationalism. I don't think even I had clocked that. about, you know, how you could target social media strategies around countries. I'm sure there's plenty of universities already doing that, and I'd love to know if anybody is doing that, because I think it's really quite interesting around the much broader view that I think is really hard in traditional marketing to do, but with something like social would actually be relatively easy. So that, you know, less of a takeaway, more of a hey, come tell us stuff if you know about this, please. Let us know. Kyle, Matt, thank you as always. And once again, thank you to all of our wonderful subscribers. If you've enjoyed today's content, please do drop us a like below. And until next time, bye.